The question is now about reopening. And when it comes to reopening, there are so many factors to think about.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and this is Future Proof. So this week, I'm happy to introduce you all to a company that you may have heard of. And if you haven't, you're going to be glad that you're hearing about them now, Unicast. They're the U.S.-based leading human mobility data company, and they empower companies globally to make smarter decisions and build better products by understanding how people move around on our planet, which is a pretty laudable goal. And Unicast typically serves data-hungry clients in multiple verticals like retail, research, real estate, city planning. You know, but lately, the company has been focused on developing tools that can help us better understand and plan for and around COVID-19. So let's jump right into my conversation with Thomas Walla, their co-founder and CEO. So what was the impetus for you to create the social distancing score at Unicast, which I found to be like very interesting and a real, you know, practical use of location data?
Yeah, so it goes a bit kind of back to what Unicast has done over the last 5 years, is to understand human mobility, understand how people move around on the planet. So we've built many different models to understand visitation to stores. We kind of work with real estate companies and retailers. But now with COVID-19, right, we sat down with a team and we really discussed, like, how can we help? What can we do in this crisis that's upon us? And one thing that we realized very quickly was that we saw other countries instituting social distancing guidelines and stay at home orders. But we also thought that, you know what, it's going to be very challenging to understand if that is working or not. And the number one data point to understand if people are adhering to stay at home orders or social distancing, that would be mobility data. So this was like literally over a week maximum. The team was working night and day to put our data models together and to build this dashboard that could, in a very easy way, explain how different states and different counties were adhering to the social distancing guidelines. So our goal was to inform the public about how we were actually doing.
What are the three different metrics that, you know, go into the score? You know, like how did you determine how you would actually roll those up into a score?
Yeah, so like first we had to look at what does social distancing actually mean, right? And social distancing, it means that you're limiting the potential encounters on your journey. So you either spread the virus or you get infected. So we looked at like three metrics. How can we actually measure this? And the first one we looked at was the distance traveled. Are people traveling less now than before? That's the indication that they're staying more at home. And the second metric we looked at was visitations to non-essential stores. So we know that under the at-home orders, it's okay or to visit the grocery stores and pet stores and pharmacies, but people really wanted to limit the number of trips to churches and cafes and bars, etc. So we can also measure if people were taking the right precautions, like limiting their visits to non-essential places. And the third metric we looked at, and this is when the data science teams like really dug deep, we're looking at the number of encounters. So how likely are you to encounter other people as you are traveling through different geographical areas? We know, for instance, if you live in New York City, the number of encounters are much, much denser than if you live in the farmland in Iowa, for instance. So it's kind of all of these different metrics combined that allowed us to provide a score, A to F, in terms of how states and how counties are adhering to social distancing.
And I've obviously looked through the data, and some people might even be looking through the data as they're listening to this podcast. But just as a very high level, I got to say, I was not surprised, but I was still a little sad when I looked to see how the U.S. was doing in relation to a lot of the world even.
Yeah, like it's been fascinating to follow, I think, for a couple of reasons. Then we've had this dashboard now live for about 2 months. Like more than 4.5 million people have used this dashboard. So it's been like very well used by the public, by health officials, by governments, by researchers, etc. And I think what we saw initially was the coastal states, they changed their behavior very quickly. Like New York, California, like that, within a couple of days, weeks, we saw a massive drop in mobility patterns and mobility activity. So they definitely took the right precautions. And you can also see that those areas had also the most infections. So there is this kind of notion that if this is close to home, you also make adjustments to your daily behavior. While we did see that the states in the Midland, like they had like less change in average mobility. And we saw that some states, some counties went like quickly from like a D to a C to an A score, while others took a bit longer to get there. And right now we are in a very interesting phase of the whole pandemic, right? Because now US has started to reopen again. So now we are seeing the mobility activity is increasing across the country. We just did a study about the Memorial Day weekend, right? That's the weekend where like summer is back and people enjoy going to the beaches. And there were a lot of states that had like a massive surge in people going to the beaches while the states that still have restrictions saw a very big drop in comparison to last year.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, like you said, to look at this. And then I was thinking, you know, in terms of from a practical standpoint, I mean, how does this social distancing score help and who does it help? Because for me, I look at it and I find it fascinating. But then I think, what are some of the more practical applications, you know, for organizations and businesses who want to leverage this, you know, for good in some way?
Yeah, so we've had hundreds of researchers and academics that have used the data very much to look at the correlation between social distancing and the number of infections and deaths. So just providing that data for good has been great. And they've done an amazing job of kind of trying to get closer to an answer or to some kind of way of understanding how to approach this pandemic. And we also had companies that have use this data to try to calculate how many hospital beds would be required based on if people are adhering to social distancing or not. We know that several states and governors have been using this dashboard in their, like this public-facing dashboard in their daily meetings, looking at how their constituents are adhering to social distancing and if there are certain counties within certain states that are doing better than others. So kind of very much been used for policy making to make sure that their constituents are safer. I think what we are starting to see now is a bit of a shift from understanding social distancing in regards to the pandemic to understanding social distancing in regards to the economy, because that's very much the topic in the press now, right? It's like, how has this impacted the economy? When is the economy going to open up again? And one thing companies are using the data for now is to really understand how comfortable are people being out in public places, right? Because before you can open up your store, you need to know if people are comfortable being out. So we're seeing all these like very different use cases from, as I mentioned, kind of analyzing number of hospital beds needed to academic research to understanding, is my local economy going to go back to normal and when? And so, yeah, we have seen a lot of exciting cases in terms of using this data.
And I was thinking even maybe just to take a step back and to think about location data in general, you know, like let's say if I'm in the 90th percentile of understanding this stuff and you're in the 99th. So people might not be aware of all the advantages of using location data, you know, even looking like even away from, you know, COVID, what are three use cases that the typical person might not be aware of or even thinking of with respect to location data?
Yeah, I think that's what makes location data so exciting, right? Because it really tells kind of how people are moving around on the planet. And those use cases, like typically what we see, like some of the use cases that I'm excited about is, and I want to kind of relate this to COVID-19 since it's so timely, but we know that the retail industry in the US shut down within a matter of days. Literally kind of 2-3 days, everything was shut down. They did that very, very well, right? But the question is now about reopening. And when it comes to reopening, there are so many factors to think about. It's about the right staffing of people. It's about understanding demand planning. And using location data allows them to understand what stores should I open first? Where should I reroute my supply? Because I might see what is called like a pent-up demand, like a massive demand after there's been a dip. So really kind of planning for demand and planning for a reopening has been a great, great use case.
And I think you're right. It's hard to really have anything these days that without relating it back to COVID. It's, you know, like everybody who I work with, they say like, but, you know, aren't people sick of it? I'm like, no pun intended, but obviously it's like, there's what, how else can you talk about anything without framing it in the moment that we're in, right?
Exactly. And I think like everybody has been sitting now for 2 months. Like, this has happened extremely fast, right? Going from a complete shutdown to looking into the future, how will the recovery look like? And now it seems like we are starting to see the recovery, right? And there's some very big decision that needs to be made by Fortune 500 companies, by organizations, etc. And looking into the data to help them guide during that process is critical. But historically, when they have done those decisions, they have looked at transaction data, CRM data, online data, social media data. Right now, that doesn't really tell too much about the pandemic and how people are moving around. So mobility data has been the number one source to understand people's behavior. And we also see that from a lot of other countries that they're starting to get a second wave, right? When the country opens up, we, and a lot of pandemic researchers says this, we should expect a second wave. So we hope that this data can be useful going forward as well to also monitor what's going to happen during the summer, over the summer, and especially since we see how states are approaching this in very, very different ways.
I know you were talking a little bit about retail, and I know you have a retail impact scoreboard that you created also, which I thought might be interesting to talk about, because I found that obviously a very interesting way of kind of looking at, you know, which you talk about it. It's more interesting to go to the source.
Yeah, no, but it's a part of this whole, how can we help companies and individuals understand COVID-19. And as we recently talked about, kind of the social distancing scoreboard was about understanding human mobility. And now, based on the shelter in place and change in behavior, this is also impacting retail. So we built this retail impacting scoreboard that showcases very brilliantly how different retail verticals across the country has been impacted by COVID-19. As an example, of course, we see that travel and hospitality is like down 70 to 80% versus normal levels. This is across the country. While we have seen that home improvement stores throughout has actually seen an increase. And looking at these different retail categories like grocery, beauty, auto dealerships, etc., our goal is to provide some insights into what verticals and what categories are we expecting to see recover fastest. And this is relevant if you are a manufacturer, right? Then you provide your goods and services to a few of these verticals. Like, how do you plan for that? What parts of the country are we expecting to see the recovery happening first?
Yeah, and I think all of that's really interesting. And then obviously, I feel like for the people who are almost the devil's advocate in me, you know, mm-hmm. I try to look at things from the other side. For people who don't understand how location data works and how precise you can get it, how can you be precise enough to use this data to look at industries like retail and foretell their fortunes accurately, right? Because basically, how accurate is location data to allow somebody like you in order to segment out different verticals and say, this one's going to be better than this one, this one's rising faster than this other one, and so on?
Yeah. So kind of to give a little kind of one-on-one in location data, how it's actually being collected is you have 30-something satellites orbiting the globe twice a day at 12,000 miles per hour. It's like amazing. And then you have a tiny GPS chip on your phone. And then you have certain apps that are pinging those GPS signals to determine your position on the planet. So very advanced, very limited information. And then kind of to fast forward, over the last 5 years, like, we've been able to build technology that's allowing us to determine if a person is in the store or not. And I think what is important to know is that we care about the aggregated data, right? We care about the number of people in total that are going to a certain place or their behavioral patterns. So we can with a very high likelihood and precision identify how many visits a store has or a specific destination has throughout the day and the week.
And I think you just touched upon something which, you know, a lot of people have, that the fact that essentially this data is anonymized and, you know, you become part of a data set. Mm-hmm. I'm personally, I fall on the, you know, I have the strong belief that people are willing to give up a little bit of privacy, if you will, if they are getting some utility out of giving up that privacy. And also, in the case of location data, you're not really giving up privacy, at least in the way that you're referring to it. So what do you do when you encounter people who get wary of location data and don't understand, like you said, that you're part of an anonymous data set and you don't really have to worry about, you know, a federal agent, you know, following you as a result of this type of stuff? I mean, obviously, China is starting to use a lot more location data in a more intrusive way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for people who have some concerns, how do you put those concerns at ease?
Yeah, no, and this is something that I care about personally as well, privacy, right? When we started Unicast 5 years ago out of Norway, and Norway is a country with like very strict privacy regulations, it was something that we want to make sure that we can build this company the right way, that we can collect the data in according to all privacy legislations, both in the US as well as in Europe, which is much, much stricter. And I think it goes back to kind of your question goes back to the use case. Like, we are looking for patterns, right? We are looking for trends. We're looking to understand development over time. And by doing that, we aggregate a lot of different data sets. And we always make sure, and this is a very big part of the DNA of Unicast, is that we always protect the individual and that the insights that we build are on an aggregated level. So I totally understand why people are concerned, because privacy is something it's important to do right, but it's something that we also have spent a tremendous amount of time focusing on and make sure that we comply with all the different very challenging legislations that's in the US and in Europe.
And I think, you know, just to almost, this is all I feel like very informative for people, you know, kind of almost at a 101 level, but also at an advanced level, because, you know, obviously you're at the forefront of this area. How do you think that studying location data can make one a better futurist? Because I'm a firm believer that if you're going to, you know, try to get better, you know, to obviously use data to inform your opinions in general. And I think location data is the kind of data that just doesn't lie in a lot of ways. You know, you look at it and it's telling you a story, and you just have to be really attentive to what story is it, you know, telling you about the future. But how would you say location data can make somebody a better futurist?
I think, to me, like, location is one of the missing pieces to understanding humans. Because if you look at history, right, we have tried to understand our brains through psychology. We try to understand our body through medicine. We try to understand interaction with other people through sociology. But we never kind of really understood people's behavior, right? Mobility behavior, until this technology has come to life that allows us to understand mobility patterns. So we see this as an integral part of making the society a better place. And I think COVID-19 has been one of those great use cases showing that we can help prevent and we can help inform around such a pandemic, help to save lives. But I think also, besides these very extreme cases like COVID-19, using mobility data to understand cities, right? We know that our cities are just growing. More people are moving to cities. And we know that our planet is struggling from a climate aspect. So we really need to understand how we can build our cities safer and smarter to be able to cope with all the people living there. And there is really no other way to do that than understanding people movements patterns, and then build the cities in a better way based on it. So I think kind of the location data space is still in a very, very early stage in supporting use cases and in kind of research and retail and real estate. But we think that there's so many other use cases that we are looking forward to explore going forward. Take autonomous cars as an example. If they are to drive safer, they really need to understand how people are moving around them, right? During certain hours, during a certain day. So that's very much the vision of Unicast, is to be able to provide these insights to companies that will benefit from them to make their products and decisions even better.
I really like that. And I got to just ask you a quick follow-up, which is, it's interesting that we talk about people moving to cities, because I personally have fled New York City temporarily as we're recording this. And I'm sure you know a lot of other people who have left the area. And it almost makes me think, could there be a location story here about people moving away, and then how many of those people move back? Obviously, it's a little bit difficult because you don't know which point. It's not like you have a persistent cookie on all of these people to be able to see like how many people came back. But I think it'll be interesting to see, even does this lead to a little bit more suburbanization, ruralization of the workforce? So that's another thing that I, you know, neither here nor there, but I think it'll be an interesting thing to study coming out of this.
You're right. And I kind of, when I talked about kind of people moving to cities, right, that was very much what people saw before COVID-19. I think that's still going to be the case on a global scale, but you will have these regional differences where people are like fleeing New York, for instance. Like people don't want to live on Manhattan, and we are able to understand different places that people have traveled to. This is typical something that real estate are using the data for. Like, what are the new areas that are up and coming? So another way of showing the power of location data and how it, from an aggregated view, can give some very interesting insights.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think there's a lot of different threads we can, you know, pull in the future if I ever have the, you know, fortune to have you on again. But this is, I think, Thomas, you know, like an amazing topic for people to delve into. And thanks so much for, you know, kind of starting a lot of people on the location data journey. I'll include some links in the show notes to some of the scorecards, the social distancing score and the retail impact scoreboard, because I think people will get a lot out of those.
Awesome. That'd be great. Thank you so much for having me, Jeremy.
Of course. Thanks again to Thomas Walla for making the time to join us today. And I'm really heartened when I see all of the innovative tools and products that are coming out of this pandemic. And, you know, nobody would ever have wished this to happen, but just to see the innovation that's coming out of a lot of companies like Unicast is really heartening to see. If you'd like what you just heard and this is your first time here, be sure to subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, the choice is yours. And if you're a longtime listener, please remember to rate and review Future Proof, as that's the number one way we get this show in front of people just like you. Special thanks this week to associate producers Jason Stack and V. Cortuccio. Once again, I'm Jeremy Goldman, and you've been listening to Future Proof.